mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Frazier Show.
What is up, a free market squad and the place to be? It's your boy Nathan Frazier, high priest of propaganda. And I'm going to be doing a live reading of my political compass in 2019. And the reason why I'm going to do this, number one, it's some fun content for me to put out. Number two, I've been getting accused of being right-wing pretty frequently lately. I don't consider myself to be right-leaning or right-wing. I consider myself socially to actually lean more to the left. But maybe I'm just out of touch with my own ideals. I don't know. I rant about the left pretty frequently on Facebook because, and probably here on the podcast as well because, you know what? Here's my big problem. My big problem is people that don't hold their own teams to the same standards or to the same accountability that they hold the other team to. A lot of people will completely turn a blind eye to the fouls committed by their own team and only criticize the fouls of the other team. I've never considered myself to be a Republican. I've never voted Republican. I'm not a fan of the Republicans. I did, for most of my life, consider myself to be a Democrat or even a Democratic Socialist or a left-leaning anarcho-socialist. And so I've always felt like to be fair and to be taken serious in politics, you should hold your own party to higher standards than you hold the other party to. So I've always held the Democrats to higher standards. And over the last couple of years, the Democrats have just failed miserably to stand up or to rise to the standards that I have held for them. And I get sick of what I've seen become the party that I used to love and what they've become now. And so I rag on them a lot more than I rag on Republicans because I don't have very high standards for Republicans. And so people often accuse me of being right-leaning. I don't think that's the case, but we're going to go ahead and take this political compass test today and see, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am right-leaning. We'll see where I am in 2019, and we're going to use this here political compass test. And join me in this journey of self-exploration. I'm going to go through and I'm going to read these questions, and then I'm going to ponder upon the answers, give my answer, and then we'll see what the results end up being. And then at the end of this, I'll go to the Facebook Live video and I'll answer or give some feedback or get some feedback from the people watching the video as I go. So, first of all, it says, just a few propositions to start with concerning no less how you see the country and the world. And I'm living in the United States of America right now, so that's the country I'm going to be viewing this through. The first question is, if economic globalization is inevitable, it should primarily serve humanity rather than the interests of transnational corporations. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. I think economics and capitalism ultimately do serve humanity, and right now they're serving transnational corporations, which does serve humanity, because third world countries are brought up through capitalism just as well as first world countries are maintained through capitalism. I'm not really one of those anti-global free trade people. I think that I think right now the free trade agreements definitely tend to favor transnational corporations, and I disagree with that happening. So I'm going to say if economic globalism or globalization is inevitable, it should primarily serve humanity rather than the interests of transnational corporations. I'm going to say slightly agree. I think that globalism and global economics do serve humanity, but I think that they should. And yeah, I can only slightly agree. I can't strongly agree with that one. Okay, question number two. I'd always support my country, whether it was right or wrong. Absolutely not. I am not a nationalist like that. If we did turn into Nazi Germany, I would absolutely not support that. If we started rounding up people based off of their ethnicity and putting them into camps, I would absolutely not disagree with that. If we start going even more socialist and start rounding up people because they have too much money, I would absolutely not disagree with that. I do not always support my country, whether it's right or wrong. So for this one, I'm going to put strongly disagree. No one chooses his or her country of birth, so it's foolish to be proud of it. I don't know. I'm not a nationalist. I'm not. I really don't even like the idea of nation states. But if people want to be proud of living in America or proud of living in Canada or proud of living in Saudi Arabia or wherever they live, they're partially a product of the environment that they were raised up in. And so if they're proud of who they are and they're proud of the environment that they were raised up in, is it foolish to be proud of that? Slightly, probably, but not too much. So I'm going to say, agree, but only slightly agree. Next question. Our race has many superior qualities compared to other races. I don't know how I feel about this one. I think all races have superior qualities compared to other races, but then individuals within each race, I don't know if that's true. My race, what is my race? I'm mixed race. I'm part Native American, part Scottish, and I was raised up in a Mexican household. I don't know what my race is. Do I think that the Mexican race has certain superior qualities? Yes, I think that they do. Do I think that white people have certain superior qualities? Yes, I think they do. Do I think that black people have certain superior qualities? Yes, I think that they do. So does our race, maybe if I'm saying my one race, is it the only one that has superior qualities? I would have to answer no. Does it, as well as all other races, have superior qualities? The answer is yes. I don't know how to answer this one. There's no real answer. I think they're trying to get the white nationalist response here. So I'm going to say our race has superior qualities compared with other races. I think that's true of every race. So I'm going to put slightly agree. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I don't agree with that one. I don't strongly disagree with that. I can see why people would think that. Here's my thing. I'm not ready to jump in bed with fascism to defeat communism. I can't stand communism. I think it's the most vile idea or economic system that has ever existed. The fact that it's so prevalent in the left wing is not driving me to jump in bed with the alt-right fascists. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I'm going to say I disagree with that one. Next question. Military action that defies international law is sometimes justified. I'm not a big fan of international law because I don't think that the UN and all of these international organizations have the right to be making laws for local sovereign places. Now, I understand we have agreements and we should stick to those agreements. And what is we? I wasn't involved in making those agreements. This is another one of those questions where it's not as easy, it's not as black and white as the text makes it out to be. Military action that defies international law is sometimes justified. Since it says sometimes justified, I'm going to say yes, I agree. Sometimes it is justified. I should probably qualify that by saying I'm not a fan of the military-industrial complex. I'm not a fan of interventionalism. I'm not a fan of 99% of what our military does. So even though I agree with the statement on face value, I don't agree with the sentiment that I think it's getting at underneath. Man, I shouldn't be so meta about answering these questions. All right. Next question. There is now a worrying fusion of information and entertainment. Yes, I think that 99% of the people out there that watch the news don't realize that they're watching entertainment. This is true of right-wing news. This is true of left-wing news. This is also true of alternative media. If you're watching CNN, you're not getting news. You're getting commentary. You're getting bias. You're getting, you're being entertained so that they can keep you viewing, so they can sell, they can get you emotionally whipped up and sell you to their advertisers. Same thing if you're watching Fox News, and I hate to break it to you, same thing if you're watching Alex Jones. It's all the same thing. It's all entertainment disguised as information. So yes, there is a worrying fusion of information and entertainment. I'm going to put strongly agree with that. And just so you know, what you're listening to right now, what you're watching right now, this is more entertainment than it is information. People might argue that this might not be entertaining at all for some people, but even myself, I am not somebody here who's here to inform you. I'm here as somebody who's here to entertain you. All right, next page. Let's get this going. Page 2 of 6. Now the economy. We're talking attitudes here, not the FTSE index. So on economics, I'm going to say I probably lean more right when it comes to economics. We'll see, though. First question. People are ultimately divided more by class than by nationality. I'm going to say I disagree with that. When I was younger, I probably would have agreed with that. But I'm going to say I disagree. This one's hard. This one's hard. I'm right in the middle. I don't know if I disagree or agree, but I'm going to go with disagree, not strongly disagree. And the reason why is because in capitalist countries like America, like most free market Western nations, even though people see themselves as part of their class, there's a lot of economic mobility. You can move from one class to another very easily. Somebody can be born rich and die poor. Somebody can be born poor and die rich. There's a lot of economic mobility in Western nations that makes it hard for people to get wrapped up in the class warfare bullshit that that people get wrapped up in less economically free countries. So here, at least, people I don't think are more divided by class than by nationality. So the question is, people are ultimately divided more by class than nationality. I'm going to say disagree, but that's only because I live in an economically in a country that offers a lot of economic mobility. Controlling inflation is more important than controlling unemployment. I'm going to say I strongly agree with this one. Inflation is the underlying root problem for a lot of our economic situation. And the fact that we have a monetary system that prints money out of thin air, that loans it to the government, that loans it at an interest, the fact that we have a private banking system that pretty much runs the entire economy, and greedy politicians and too big to fail corporations getting that money when it's hot and then putting it off on us once it's cold. The way our economic system works, worrying about unemployment is like looking at the side effect or the symptom and not addressing the root cause. And the root cause is inflation. So yes, controlling inflation is more important than controlling unemployment. I'm going to say I strongly agree with that one. Next question. Because corporations cannot be trusted to voluntarily protect the environment, they require regulation. I agree with the first part of this. I don't think that corporations can be trusted to voluntarily protect the environment, or at least not some of them. They require regulation. I don't agree with that part of the question because I don't trust the regulators. As soon as a market is regulated, the biggest players in the market come in and buy up the regulators or find their way into the seats of regulation. So do I trust the corporations to do the right job? Absolutely not. Not in every case. Do I trust government regulators to do a right job, a good job? No. To me, it's like asking one bully to protect you on the playground from the other bully. I don't trust either one of them. So I agree with the first half of this statement. I don't agree with the second half of this statement. So I'm going to have to say I disagree, but not strongly. I just slightly disagree with that statement. Next question or next statement. From each according to his ability to each according to his needs is a fundamentally good idea. Did this question just assume my gender? I'm triggered. No, I absolutely disagree with this. From each according to his ability, to each according to his needs is the basis of communism. It's why workhorses get worked to death while fat hogs live high on the hog, like an animal farm. I don't agree with this statement at all. I don't agree. Idealistically, I would like everybody to be taken care of. But this mindset leads to the downfall of every society. It leads to the most productive people being worked to death, being prisoners, and or escaping and leaving and taking their productivity with them. And it always ends up as a net loss to the society as a whole. So fundamentally, no, it is not a good idea. I'm going to put strongly disagree on that one. Next question. It's a sad reflection on our society that something as basic as drinking water is now a bottled, branded consumer product. I disagree with that one as well. I like having water, but the fact of the matter is not all water is safe to drink. The fact of the matter is I don't want to have to go and get my water, and I don't like drinking fluoridated water. I'd rather drink purified water that hasn't been fluoridated, and I don't want to have to drive all the way out to the mountains and get it from the source. So if there's people that are willing to get that water and bring it to me and sell it to me as a consumer product, I'm absolutely 100% on board with that. I grew up in Los Angeles. The water there is garbage, and bottled water there is great. So I'm going to say it's a sad reflection on our society that something as basic as drinking water is now bottled, branded, and a consumer product. I'm going to say I strongly disagree with that presumption. Next question. Land shouldn't be a commodity to be bought and sold. For the same reason, I'm just going to say I strongly disagree with this. If you are the person that claims some land or buys some land and you use it, you should be able to buy and sell it. Otherwise, if there's no property rights, there's no reason to invest. If you can't say, this is my land and I'm going to plant these crops and I'm going to be the one that gets to decide how the crops are used, there's no incentive for you to grow the crops. Private property is what breeds prosperity. Land ownership is part of private property. I absolutely agree with land ownership, so I'm going to disagree with this comment. Land shouldn't be a commodity to be bought and sold. It is regrettable that many personal fortunes are made by people who simply manipulate money and contribute nothing to their society. This one's a difficult one. If you're talking about the people that run the Federal Reserve, I absolutely agree with you. It is regrettable that the people that run the Federal Reserve are making billions of dollars off of manipulating money. If you're talking about people that loan money out to entrepreneurs, and you're assuming that the people that make those loans contribute nothing to society, I disagree with you on that one. So on this one, it's hard for me to say whether I disagree or agree. It depends on, I guess it's not a clear enough statement to make a blanket answer to. So I'm going to say agree, but with the caveat that I'm only saying agree to that when I'm talking about people like the people that run the Federal Reserve. All right. Protectionism is sometimes necessary in trade. Protectionism is sometimes necessary in trade. I don't know how I feel about this one. I guess it depends on what you mean by protectionism. I think that what they're talking about is kind of like what Donald Trump is doing, where he's playing the strong hand with China and other countries and saying, we're going to put America first. I think anytime that you are trading, you should have your own interests at heart, but you should also have the interests of the other party at heart. And sometimes you do have to protect your own interests. So since it says protectionism is sometimes necessary in trade, I'm going to say agree, but not strongly agree. Next question. The only social responsibility of a company should be to deliver a profit to its shareholders. I disagree with this one. Not strongly. I understand that a corporation or a company, their main goal should be to deliver profit to the shareholders if they have shareholders or if they're publicly traded. But a lot of times companies sacrifice long-term profits and long-term sustainability because they're so concerned with short-term profits. So they'll cut corners. They'll do things that are not safe and end up costing the environment, or they'll do things that are unsafe and end up costing the well-being of their own employees. So should they sacrifice their long-term sustainability in the search or the quest for short-term profits? I don't think that they should. I don't think that that's a sustainable business model, but I do see a lot of businesses chasing after that model. So The only social responsibility of a company should be to deliver profit to its shareholders. I'm going to say I disagree with that one. And yeah, that's my thoughts on it. The rich are too highly taxed. I'm going to say strongly agree on this one. Everybody is too highly taxed. Way too much money. Way too much of our earnings goes to feed the politicians. Way too much of our earnings goes to corporate subsidies. Way too much of our earning goes to people that collect welfare and don't do anything and are perfectly capable of doing things. Way too much of the working class, and that includes the rich. Way too much of our money is taxed. I believe everybody is too highly taxed. So I'm going to say, yes, I strongly agree. The rich are too highly taxed. Next question. Those with the ability to pay should have access to higher standards of medical care. This one's going to hurt some people's feelings, but I agree with this one. If you're able to pay for more, you should receive more. If you're able to pay for more, it's usually an indicator that you've provided more. You do more for society. You do the things that other people don't want to do for society. You provide something of higher value to society, so you have more money. If you are somebody who provides more for society and you have the ability to pay for more of anything, higher quality of anything, higher standards of anything, if you provide higher standards to society, part of that trade-off is the fact that when it comes to what you want from society, you now have the ability to access higher standards of it, and that includes medical care. So while I think everybody should be able to get decent medical care, or while I wish everybody could get decent medical care, people who have more money and have the ability to pay, yeah, it's a free market. You should be able to get, if you have more, if you can afford more, you should be able to get more. That's just the way that it is. Next question. Governments should penalize businesses that mislead the public. I think businesses that mislead the public should be penalized, whether that's through being exposed and losing sales. I'm not sure that I trust government to do it, but again, this is one of those questions where it's like, should businesses that mislead the public be punished for it? Yes. Should government be in charge of doing that, carrying out that punishment? I'm not a big fan of that, so it's hard for me to pick agree or disagree. I'm going to say agree, but with the caveat that I don't think it should be government making those penalties or enforcing those penalties. Next question. A genuine free market requires restrictions on the ability of predator multinationals to create monopolies. Let me reread that one. That's a difficult question to understand. A genuine free market requires restrictions on the ability of predator multinationals to create monopolies. I don't trust, I'm assuming they want government regulations and restrictions. I don't trust government restrictions to do this. Again, going back to the regulatory capture situation, as soon as you allow the government to start making restrictions, it's going to be those predatory multinational corporations that are going to start buying up the people that write those restrictions. So I think a lot of the monopolies that we have now are actually a direct result of the regulations. So I don't know. I'm going to say disagree because I don't think it requires the restrictions. In fact, I think the opposite of that. I think it requires the lack of restrictions. Last question. The freer the market, the freer the people. Yes, absolutely. If you have property rights, if you have the ability to buy, sell, and trade without restriction, you're absolutely more free. So I 100% agree with this. The freer the market, the freer the people. Strongly agree. Next page. Page 3 of 6. Now look at some of your personal social values. Abortion, when the woman's life is not threatened, should always be illegal. Man, I struggle with this one. I'm going to say I agree because abortion, in my opinion, is murder. You're killing a baby. And I'm not going to bomb an abortion clinic, but I do, in my heart, believe that murder is... it's a social bad. Killing people is socially bad. When I look at the communities that are targeted with abortion the most, those are the communities I grew up in. I grew up in poverty. I grew up in Black and Hispanic communities, and abortion is a genocide in those communities. So I'm not a big fan of abortion, and I don't think that it leads to a strong community. So abortion, when the woman's life is not threatened, should always be illegal. I don't like the idea of making it illegal, but I don't agree with abortion. So I'm going to go ahead and put I agree with that statement. All authority should be questioned. Absolutely. Strongly agree with that. Even if it's my authority, I think that even if I was president, people should question me. And this used to be a solid belief in the left. This is one of the things that I loved about the Democrats, is they always talked about question authority. Now they only question the authority when it's Trump, but never question CNN, never question Facebook, never question liberals, only question certain authority. I think all authority should be questioned, so I'm going to put strongly agree with that one. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I do not live this way. I don't think it's a very productive way to live. Focusing on how you were wronged and trying to get back at people that wronged you is probably a horrible way to live. It's a horrible mindset to build a society on. So an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, I strongly disagree with that. Taxpayers should not be expected to prop up any theaters or museums that cannot survive on a commercial basis. I'm going to say I agree with that because I don't think taxpayers should be expected to prop up any business that can't survive on a commercial basis. I like theaters. I like libraries. I like museums. I don't mind my taxes going to them, but I don't think people should be forced to pay for anything they don't want to pay for. And I think that if we didn't force people to, the free market would find a way to provide those services anyways. And so I'm going to say I agree with that statement. Taxpayers should not be forced to prop up those businesses. Schools should not make classroom attendance compulsory. I agree with this 100%. Compulsory school is what killed my desire to learn. And I think compulsory school, the lesson there is to teach you obedience and submission to authority. I don't like obedience and submission to authority, so I'm going to put strongly agree. Schools should not make classroom attendance compulsory. Strongly agree. All people have their rights, but it is better for all of us that different sorts of people should keep to their own kind. I disagree with this one. Again, multicultural. I am the personification of multiculturalism. I'm part Native American, part Scottish. I grew up in a Mexican household in predominantly Black and Mexican neighborhoods, and I am better for it. I love the culture I grew up in. I love the multiculturalism I grew up in. It worked for me. Maybe it doesn't work for other people. I understand why in prison Mexicans stick with Mexicans and Black people stick with Black people and white people stick with white people. I understand why tribally people are drawn to people that they feel comfortable with that look like them. I understand why people want to stick with what they're comfortable with. I don't think that they should. I don't think that they should be forced to. I don't think that it works for everybody. It definitely isn't what worked best for me in my life. So I'm going to put strongly disagree. It is better for all of us that different sorts of people keep to their own kind. Strongly disagree with that one. Good parents sometimes have to spank their children. Strongly disagree with that one too. I don't think you should ever hit a child. We got beat all the time by my dad, and I'm not a big fan of it. I think that teaching children to reason, teaching children to negotiate, teaching children to understand and come to their own conclusions about why they shouldn't do something, getting them to buy into an idea of living a better life is way better than using violence to force them into it. And I think that using violence to force children to behave is training them to fit into an authoritarian society. I don't like living in an authoritarian society, so I don't agree with using authoritarian practices on children. Next question. It is natural for children to keep some secrets from their parents. Yeah, it's natural for everybody to keep secrets. We don't tell, all of us have things that we don't want to just openly share with everybody. So it's natural for children to keep some secrets from their parents. I kept all kinds of secrets from my, man, I would have gotten beaten so much more frequently if I didn't keep secrets from my parents. So yeah, I think it's natural. Possessing marijuana for personal use should not be a criminal offense. Absolutely strongly agree. In the entire war on drugs, the war on drugs is a huge failure. It's a huge waste of taxpayer money. And it has led to giant increases of government power that I am absolutely opposed to. So not just marijuana, but yes, absolutely for marijuana. Possession of marijuana for personal use should not be a criminal offense. Strongly agree. The prime function of schooling should be to equip future generations to find jobs. Absolutely not. Schooling education should teach children how to think, how to reason, how to function in society, and how to live productive lives, not how to just find jobs. So I'm going to strongly disagree with that one. People with serious inheritable disabilities should not be allowed to reproduce. Strongly disagree with that one. And the reason why is because my mom had severe mental illness issues. My mom had severe physical disabilities. And if she wasn't allowed to reproduce, I wouldn't be here doing this video for you, for this podcast episode for you right now. So strongly disagree with that one. The most important thing for children to learn is to accept discipline. Strongly disagree. Well, self-discipline, yes. Children should be taught self-discipline, but I don't think that's what they're getting at. I think they're talking about authoritarian discipline, outward discipline. I'm going to say strongly disagree with that one. There are no savage and civilized people. There are only different cultures. That is bullshit. There are absolutely savage cultures and absolutely civilized peoples. And I don't think it's always as black and white as people make it out to be, but I'm Native American. I've read the history on my tribe, and my tribe was fucking savage. And my tribe, the reason why it lasted so long, the reason why it's still around, is because they fucking were brutal to their neighboring tribes. And we were at war very frequently, and the things we did to other tribes were pretty savage compared to even a lot of the stuff that the Europeans did when they came over. So are there savage, sacrificing people, sacrificing virgins to volcanoes is fucking savage. Murdering people that that transgress against your bounds and sticking their heads on stakes and cultures that think it's cool to rape fucking 8-year-old girls, that shit's fucking savage. And there is obviously civilization beyond that. So I'm going to say there are no savage and civilized people. There are only different cultures. I strongly disagree with that one. And you can call me a bigot if you want. I don't give two flying fucks. Those who are able to work and refuse the opportunity should not expect society support. Strongly agree with that one. I grew up on welfare. Welfare is too often abused. I watched the system get abused by way too many people. And I don't think that taxpayers should be forced to support people who are perfectly capable of supporting themselves and just refuse to do it. So strongly agree with that one. When you are troubled, it's better not to think about it, but better to keep busy with more cheerful things. I disagree with this one. I don't like dwelling on troubles, but I do think that you have to focus on fixing your troubles. So if you've got a problem, focus on fixing it, get past it. I feel like it's like this. Everybody's mind, everybody's life is a garden. That garden's going to have weeds and it's going to have flowers. If all you do is pay attention to the flowers, the weeds are going to overcome and kill the flowers. If all you do is focus on the weeds, the flowers are never going to get the water that they need, and then they're also going to die and be overrun by the weeds. You need to pluck the weeds when they're there, and you need to focus on the flowers and give the flowers as much energy as you possibly can. So when you're troubled, it's better not to think about it, but better to keep busy with more cheerful things. I disagree with that. Deal with what you're troubled about, and then spend your time focusing on the cheerful things. First generation immigrants can never be fully integrated within their new country. I'm going to say I disagree with that. That's a huge blanket statement. I don't, that word never. I know that my grandpa, when he came here from Mexico, he was able to adapt and integrate pretty well into the country. Of course, it was a different time back then, but I'm going to say I disagree with that statement. What's good for the most successful corporations is always ultimately good for all of us. Disagree with that one. I know I'm a free market capitalist, but the fact of the matter is that's a blanket statement. They say always, can't agree with it. Sometimes what's good for most successful corporations is to rob the taxpayers and use corporate subsidies to prop up too big to fail companies. And I don't think that's what's best for all of us. It's good for the few people that get the benefits of the socialism, but it's not good for the rest of us that have to pay for it. So Ultimately, I'm going to say no, I disagree with that statement. No broadcasting institution, however independent its content should ever receive or should receive public funding. I agree with this one. I'm not a big fan of taxes in general. I'm not a big fan of PBS. I'm not a big fan of BBC. I'm not a big fan of RT, Russian television, all of these tax-funded. You're going to get propaganda. That's what you're going to get. I guess all media is slightly propaganda, but no. No broadcasting institution, however independent its content, should receive public funding. I'm going to agree with that one. Next page. 4 of 6, and see how you see wider society. Our civil liberties are being excessively curbed in the name of counterterrorism. Strongly agree with this. The war on terrorism has been a huge war on individual freedom, and I don't like it. And so, yes, the civil liberties are being excessively curbed in the name of counterterrorism. A significant advantage of a one-party state is that it avoids all arguments that delay progress in democratic political system. Okay, so should we just have one party? Should we have a dictator that's able to just enforce their will on everybody? This question is partially true. A significant advantage of a one-party state? Yeah, that is an advantage for the state. Is it an advantage for the people out there? I don't think so. Is it an advantage for the population? I don't think so. Is it an advantage for the state? Yes. So this is one of those questions where it's like partially it's a true statement, partially it's a negative statement. I'm going to say disagree on that one. Although the electronic age makes official surveillance easier, only wrongdoers need be worried. Absolutely not. As a marketer, I'm going to tell you this, whether you're doing something wrong or not, you should be worried about how much information we have on you. And I'm a marketer. I'm not the government. And I know I have way too much information on the average person out there. Makes my job a lot easier. But if you knew how much information us in the marketing community could get on you, you would be creeped out by it. And that doesn't hinge upon whether or not you're a wrongdoer. So I'm gonna disagree with this. Not only wrongdoers should be worried about the invasion of privacy. Everybody should be worried about the invasion of privacy that's going on nowadays. The death penalty should be an option for most serious crimes. I'm going to say disagree. Too many people are found innocent afterwards, after they've already been put to death. Here's how I feel about it. The death penalty should be reserved for only two crimes. Number one, if you get caught molesting a child, fucking murder you right away. Number two, if you get caught red-handed actually raping somebody, and I'm not talking about what feminists say, oh, they looked at me and it made me uncomfortable and that was rape, or they whistled at me and I was raped today. Not that kind of shit, but if you're actually caught physically raping somebody, you should probably be put to death. With the two exceptions of child molesting and raping, I don't think anybody should be put to death. I don't believe in the death penalty. I'm actually very staunchly against the death penalty. But the fact of the matter is, if I found somebody raping somebody, I would, you know, one of my children or one of my friends, if I walked into the room and saw it happening, I'd probably kill the motherfucker right there. So death penalty it would be. So death penalty should be an option for the most serious crimes. I disagree with the death penalty, but for those absolutely heinous crimes, I kind of agree with it. So I'm going to have to put agree on this, even though I'm staunchly against the death penalty in 99% of the cases. In a civilized society, one must always have people above and to be obeyed and people below to be commanded. No, I don't agree with that. I think that's a stupid... I'm not even going to give that one the justification of an explanation. I'm just going to say I disagree with that. Abstract art that doesn't represent anything shouldn't be considered art at all. Art is in the eye of the beholder. I'm not going to tell you what you should consider art, so I'm going to disagree. If I think it's not art and you want to say that it is art, go ahead. I think a lot of the art nowadays is just garbage, and I don't see it as art, but if you want to consider it art, go ahead. I'm not going to tell you what you should consider it to be art, so I'm going to put disagree with that. In criminal justice, punishment should be more important than rehabilitation. I totally disagree with this. Too many people in our prison systems and too many people in the criminal justice There are people that have just been led wrong. There are people with mental illness issues, and punishing them is not the ultimate solution. Now, do I think everybody can be rehabilitated? I don't. I think some people are just lost causes. And even then, I don't know if punishment, just segregate them from society, or like I said, if they're a child molester or you caught them actually raping somebody, just fucking kill them. So in criminal justice, punishment should be more important than rehabilitation. I think that rehabilitation in most cases should be more important. So I'm going to put disagree. It is a waste of time to try and rehabilitate some criminals. I don't think every criminal can be rehabilitated. I've met some people that are just habitual offenders. I have a lot of friends that are still in prison now. I don't think they'll ever come out. But I've also had friends that I didn't think would ever be rehabilitated, and now they lead successful contribution-style lives. They contribute to society. They had to stay in jail until their late 20s or their early 30s before they finally got it. But now they have been rehabilitated. So is it a waste of time to try and rehabilitate some criminals? I think we should always try and rehabilitate, even the ones that are considered lost causes. So I'm going to say it is a waste of time to rehabilitate some criminals. I disagree, but only slightly disagree. The business person and the manufacturer are more important than the writer and the artist. I think we need art. Art is something that's important in society. Writing, literature is something that's important in society. Ultimately, though, as a marketer, as a business person, I know that Elvis Presley was nothing without his manager. The business person, it doesn't matter how talented you are at your art. If you don't have good business skills, you're not going to go very far. One of the most brilliant inventors and artists of our time, Nikola Tesla, was a fucking socialist, and he ruined his potential because he was a fucking idiot socialist. One of the most brilliant people could have changed the world, but because he refused capitalism, all of his brilliance, all of his possibility, potential to positively impact the world were just shit away because he was a socialist. So the business person and the manufacturer are more important. I think it's an equal. I think the business person and the manufacturer are equally important to the writer and the artist. But because that's not a viable answer here, I'm going to say I kind of think the business people and the manufacturers are a slightly bit more important. So I'm going to put just agree, but only slightly. And I'm not happy with the answers that they provide for this one, or the options. Mothers may have careers, but their first duty is to be homemakers. Mothers, yes. Women, no. Women should be able to do whatever they want. If they don't even want to be a homemaker, they shouldn't have to be. If they don't even want to have children, they shouldn't have to. If they have children, I think their first duty is to be homemakers. And I feel like fathers, their first duty should be to provide for their children as well. And the way that we've genetically evolved, mothers provide in one way and fathers provide in another way. And that's just the way evolution created us. It's not sexism. It's not bigotry. It's not patriarchy. It's genetics. It's fucking evolution. It is the way that it is. If you're a father, you're supposed to be a hunter-gatherer because that's the way we evolved. If you're a mother, you're more than likely supposed to be a nurturer because that's the way we evolved. It's not bigotry. It's just fucking facts. Mothers, when it comes to mothers, you know, if this question said women can have careers, but their first duty should be as homemakers, I would strongly disagree. But since it says mothers, I'm going to have to slightly agree on that one. And that's going to probably skew my results and tell me that I'm a right-wing Nazi. Multinational companies are unethically exploiting the plant genetic resources of developing countries. Not so black and white. Some of them probably are. Not all of them are. Again, a lot of times multinational companies, even when it's sweatshops, they bring up the standard of living. We had to, in our Industrial Revolution, we had to go through a pretty crappy working environment to get to the point where we are now. Those other countries where people are digging through trash to stay alive, multinational companies come in and offer them something that's better than digging through trash, which eventually leads them to being a developed country. So this is not a black and white. I'm going to say disagree on that one. Making peace with the establishment is an important aspect of maturity. I disagree with this one. Making peace with the way the world is an important aspect of society or of maturity. Making peace with the way people are, making peace with the fact that we live in the world the way it is and not the way that we wish it was, is an important aspect of maturity. Making peace with the establishment, not so much. So since it says the establishment and not just the way things are, I'm going to put disagree, because I think that the establishment should always have pushback, even from the most mature people. And I think it's most important to get pushback from the mature people. So I'm going to put disagree on that one. Page 5. If you got through that okay, you'll find these propositions on religion a breeze. Astrology accurately explains many things. I'm going to say disagree on that one. And I'm going to plead ignorance. I don't know enough about the universe to make a strong position on that one. You cannot be moral without being religious. I disagree with that one. I'm agnostic. I have friends that are atheists and they're pretty moral individuals. I have friends that that are staunch Christians and are trying to cheat on their husbands with me. So religion does not equal morality. I'm just going to leave it at that. Charity is better than Social Security as a means of helping the genuinely disadvantaged. Absolutely agree with that, because look at what's happening to Social Security. It's about to run out. By the time I get old enough to collect it, there probably won't be anything left, and I've paid into it my entire life. So yes, charity is better than Social Security. Absolutely, strongly agree with that. Some people are naturally unlucky. No, disagree with that. Some people are full of shit. That's what some people are. It is important that my child's school instills religious values. Strongly disagree with that. I don't think that a school should instill religious values. Next page. Page 6. Finally, a look at sex. Ooh, triggered. Sex outside marriage is usually immoral. If you're married, I would agree. It's probably fucked, unless you have an agreement that you, with your partner, and you're like, hey, it's cool. You can fuck around and I'm going to fuck around and we're all going to be happy. So sex outside marriage, usually immoral. Are you married? Are you not married? Is this premarital sex? If it was premarital sex, I'd say strongly disagree. If it was marital, once you're already married and you're going behind your partner's back, dishonesty is immoral. So I would agree on that one. So I don't know where I should put it. I'm going to go ahead and say agree on this one. A same-sex couple in a stable, loving relationship should not be excluded from the possibility of child adoption. This one's hard. I'm going to say should not be excluded. I'm going to say agree. I think that it's important to have a male and a female role model as a child. I think that's important. But if your option is I get to grow up in a foster home, or I get to grow up in an orphanage, or I get to grow up in a not maybe the most ideal situation, but definitely better than an orphanage with two males or two females, I'm going to say that that would probably be the better alternative to grow up in a house with two moms or two dads. So I'm going to say I don't think they should be excluded from the possibility of child adoption, because I think there's too many children. And to be honest, maybe I'm just a bigot, and maybe two men or two women could do a better job of raising a child. I don't know. I've known a lot of lesbians that have they sink into lesbian deathbed syndrome, and they end up being two women that end up absolutely hating each other. That's my own personal experience, and I'm not going to project that onto everybody else. So I'm just going to say I think that if it's a stable environment and they're in a loving relationship, yeah, why not let them adopt children? Pornography, depiction of consenting adults should be legal for the adult population. I'm going to say I'm addicted to porn, and I'm not a big fan of pornography because I know how much of a, I probably shouldn't be admitting this on a live video, but I'm not a fan of how much control pornography has over me, but that should be a personal struggle. I don't think it should be something that society should outlaw. So pornography, even though I have my own love-hate relationship with it, should it be legal for the adult population? I'm going to put strongly agree. It should be legal, even though I think there are negative aspects to it. What goes on in a private bedroom between consenting adults is no business of the state. Strongly agree with that one. Republicans, stay out of my bedroom. Democrats, stay the fuck out of my wallet. That's how I feel about it. No one can feel naturally homosexual. I can't really answer. I can only say me. I don't feel naturally homosexual, but I can't say what other people feel. It's kind of pompous to even have this question on there. So I disagree. I can't say what no one can naturally feel. These days, openness about sex has gone too far. You know what? I'm actually going to agree with that. Gay pride parades where people are walking around with their dicks hanging out in front of 11-year-old kids, I think that's gone too far. And maybe I'm a prude. Maybe I'm a bigot. Maybe I'm a right-wing fascist. But a lot of the stuff, especially on the extreme fringes of the LGBT community, I think has gone too far. And I don't care if somebody calls me a bigot for saying that. I don't care if someone considers that to be hate speech. That's the way I feel, and I'm being honest with this. So let's see where I stand on this here political spectrum. Let's see. So as we explained, the inadequacies of traditional left and right line, they say upwards is authoritarian, downwards is libertarian, left and right on the economic scale. So social scale and economic scale is the two things. And it says, I'm going to skip through all of this and say, where do I find myself? It says that I'm down here in the bottom right-hand corner. I'm about halfway from the middle point of right and center, and I'm about halfway between authoritarian and libertarian. I thought I'd be closer to the center on left and right, and I thought I'd be further down towards libertarian, but apparently this political compass says that I'm not. So let's see who it says I'm close to. So here's where mine is, in the kind of the center bottom right square. And it says, I guess the only person here is Milton Friedman that's kind of close to where I'm at. I don't know how I feel about that. Anyways, maybe Ayn Rand is probably close to where I'm at too. It says, I don't know. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at in 2019. If you want to check out this test and take it for yourself, you can go to politicalcompass.org. I hope I was entertaining at least throughout this. Let me know your comments in the comment section if you think that I'm totally full of shit or if you think I missed something while I was doing this. Leave it in the comment section. Let me know. I'll do my best to interact with you. If you liked this podcast, you probably like the rest of my podcasts. Check it out over at NathanFrazierShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to my Facebook videos. And until next time, I'm out of here. Faith in each other, not in authority. That's what the Free Market Squad is all about. Deuces! Yo, did you enjoy the show? Do you want to help me create more of it? If so, then head on over to Patreon and find me at... Just kidding. Fuck Patreon. But on the reals, I am a greedy capitalist, I do want your money, and I do have something really cool for you if you feel like sending me some shekels. Have you heard about the Free Market Squad? It's my private community, and inside of it, you'll be able to connect with a bunch of liberty-minded entrepreneurs and marketers. You'll also get access to trainings from some of the world's greatest marketers and A-list copywriters. These are the people who taught me how to build my two successful businesses so that I could do the work I love and be my own boss. So, if you want to show me some love, I'm going to give you something of immense value in return. Join the Free Market Squad, discover the selling secrets of some of the world's most successful marketers and copywriters, and get access to our private community of freedom-focused entrepreneurs. You help me, and I help you. That's what the Free Market Squad is all about. Head on over to freemarketsquad.com and get signed up today.